salvation comes through God's grace alone.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
When I was a student in Bible school, I've told you this story before, some of you may remember this, but when I was a student in Bible school, one of the classes that I was taking was Greek, New Testament Greek. Anybody excited about Greek, like to take New Testament Greek? Well, there we were in class, and there was one thing, we would all go in there, and at the beginning of each class, the instructor, he would come up there, he'd be ready to start the class, and there would be just this hushed silence or anticipation, because there were certain words that you were hoping he was not going to say. Those dreaded words were, take out a half a sheet of paper. Because what we knew that meant is we were about to get a quiz, a pop quiz, all right? And so we would have to see how well had we learned the previous lesson then. And sometimes he'd like to play with us a little bit. He would say, take out your textbook and turn to page, you know. So he would do that sometimes too. So I'm not going to tell you to turn out or to take out a half a sheet of paper here today. But I do have a little pop quiz for you, nevertheless. No paper necessary. Just want to ask you a few questions here. The first one is this. Is what makes Christianity different from other religions when it comes to this issue of how to be right with God? How to be saved, how to be right with God. What makes Christianity different from other religions? What would you say?
Grace.
Grace. Very good. That's the answer I was looking for. There's some different ways we can answer that. But grace is what makes Christianity different from many other religions. It's grace. It's God's actions for us that He initiates and that He takes on our behalf for people who don't deserve it at all. People like me. People like us. So I would ask you a question here then along that, continuing this, our little pop quiz here. I would say, can we do anything, any good works to earn our salvation? Can we do anything to be worthy of salvation? Can we do anything to pay God back for our salvation? No. So let me ask you this. Are there any grounds for you or me to take any credit at all for our salvation? Well, how about this? Can you take some credit because you were wise enough to believe? Oh, I'm saved by faith, I know. But I was smart enough to know, to see the truth here, to figure it out, and to believe. Can you take any credit for that?
No.
See, the reality is that none of us can take credit. Now, I'm not denying the responsibility that God has put there for people to believe, okay? But in terms of who gets the credit here, is there any grounds for you or me to take credit?
No,
there isn't at all. There isn't at all. So we're continuing then in our series on the five solas of the Reformation. Remember Martin Luther, that church in Wittenberg, we saw the video just a little bit earlier this morning, was there, and he had some difficulties with the doctrine of the church that was being taught, as well as some corrupt practices within the church. And so he taught, I shouldn't say he taught, it was nothing original, he returned to the biblical teaching on salvation and being justified, being made right with God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for God's glory alone. And where do we get that authority? From Scripture alone. So we're looking at these five solas of the Reformation: Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. We've seen that Scripture alone is the ultimate source of authority for Christian doctrine and practice. If someone is proclaiming something to be what God says or how we must be made right with God, the Scripture alone is the ultimate or final authority on that matter, or any matter of doctrine and practice. It is the final or ultimate source of authority. We see in faith alone that salvation is a gift of God. It is a gift of God, and it is received by faith alone. It's not faith plus good works. It's just faith. Faith alone. Well, actually, we are saved by good works. Just not our good works. Whose good works? Jesus. See, we are saved by works. Jesus' works. Not our own. So we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus and His good works for us on our behalf. So continuing today, we're looking here at grace sola gratia, grace alone, that salvation comes through God's grace alone. You and I can't take credit for our salvation. It's God's action on our behalf. And we are saved not through our efforts, not even because we were smart enough to believe, but because God extended graciously salvation to us. I want us to review what we said last week about faith, being saved by grace through faith alone. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we see this great passage here about salvation by grace through faith. Apostle Paul says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We see who we were apart from Christ, what you were, I was. You were dead in sin. You were following this world. You were following Satan. You were following fleshly passions and desires. And as a result, you and I, what we were under God's wrath, under God's judgment for our sin. Why is God wrathful towards sin? Well, let me ask you, when you see things that are wrong, horribly wrong, do you feel anger at that? And rightly so, right? Do you believe that there should be judgment for those things? Absolutely so. But you know, it's so easy for us to want to point our fingers at others and say, well, that person did wrong, or that person should be judged for what they did. Well, the reality is all of us are guilty before God, aren't we? And under God's judgment. See, this is our state apart from Christ. But God, I love those two words. But God, what, He's rich in mercy. He loved you greatly, and He made you alive. You were dead. I was dead, cut off, separated, unable to respond to Him, unable to be right, unable to do anything to be right with Him. But God made us alive. How? By His grace, by reaching out to us and making us alive together with Christ. And he raised us then with Christ. He seated us with Christ. And here's the good news. Not only do we have salvation, deliverance from judgment, and the gift of life, but what? God is going to show us immeasurable grace and kindness forever. Have you ever just thought about that? Stopped and thought about that? Forever and ever and ever, God is going to pour out grace and kindness upon you. But here's the thing, you see, we can't take credit for our salvation. We didn't earn it, right? But even faith, did you know that you weren't smart enough to believe? Because even faith itself is a gift of God. That's God working in you. Because we were dead spiritually, He made us alive. He gave us even the gift of faith itself. So your salvation is by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not a result of works. And so there's no place for boasting. But is there a place for good works in the life of the believer? Certainly, but it's faith produces good works. Good works don't save, but they should and do follow faith. So we're saved then. What do we mean when we say we're saved by grace? Saved by grace alone. We see, here's the reality. The reality here is that no one can be saved apart from God's grace. So what is God's grace? It's God's kindness and favor extended to undeserving people like me and you. And there's nothing that we can do to earn it, to be right with God, to be justified or made right with God, to be righteous in His sight. It's all what Christ has done for us. And so none of us then can be saved or delivered from God's judgment apart from God's grace. But even faith, and we are delivered then from that judgment by God's grace through faith. Faith in Christ, in what Christ did, Christ's good life and good works for us. His punishment, being punished for us on the cross. His death and His resurrection. We put our faith, our trust, our confidence in Him for that. But even faith, seeing that, understanding that, putting our trust, even that we cannot do apart from God's grace operating in us. See, God isn't just waiting for us all to be smart enough to figure it out and believe. You see, because we're dead spiritually, but He gives the gift of faith to us. So God gets all of the credit. To God alone be the glory. Now, some of you might be thinking here, and I know what you're thinking. I can even see it on some of your faces here, okay? And believe me, I've been there. I know these things. Some of you might be thinking, well, there he goes again. He's one of those Calvinist guys who thinks that, you know, that it's all God, that God chose beforehand, that salvation is a gift of God, and that human beings, that there's no free will, there's no responsibility, that it's all on God. To which I will say, well, I do identify with that particular theological bent, but that's mischaracterizing what it is, really. Yes, God did do it all, and yes, grace is a gift of God, and yes, faith is a gift of God, and yes, He does deserve all of the credit. But you see, here's the thing. Even if you're on another side of that, what's called the Arminian side of that, where the focus is on human responsibility, human will, free will, even there, you must have God's grace to believe. You see, you can be an Arminian who believes in human will, the human will, free will, think that this is a choice that human beings make. But you know what? Apart from God's grace to enable you to make that choice, you wouldn't make that choice. So you see, whether you're a Calvinist or Arminian or somewhere in between or else thoroughly confused about the whole thing, right? The point is wherever you're on, the point is God's grace saves. And that everyone who believes, believes because God graciously enabled them. Because why? Apart from God's grace, we were dead, unable. So if you're a Calvinist, if you're an Arminian, you're a Calminian or some other thing, however you want to understand that, no one is saved apart from God's grace. That's the point. And no one then can boast. You can't even say, I was wise enough to discern the truth and put my faith in Christ. No, you weren't. God was gracious enough to enable you to see the truth in Christ and put your faith in Christ. You see? So God gets the credit, and everyone needs God's grace in order to believe. I want you to look at another passage for today then in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 31. This is one of those bad news before we get to the good news passages. Remember, we've said the gospel is good news. But we can't really understand or appreciate the good news until we see the bad news. And Paul is going to say some things here about the human condition apart from Christ. And you may not like it. But you know what? Sometimes we don't like. Even believers can buckle a little bit at what the scripture says about what human beings are apart from Jesus, okay? We want to believe. Most, yes, the average person on the street, they say, are people basically good or basically bad? What are people going to say? Basically good. We want to think that we're good. We're basically good. And you know what? If we're comparing ourselves to one another, you know, I'd say most people have a basically good disposition. I might dispute that a little bit, but okay. But guess what? The standard isn't one another, is it? The standard is God's standard of perfection. And with God's standard of perfection, is anybody good? No. And so, because of this, we have a problem before a just and holy and righteous God. But God is rich in mercy, isn't he? Let's look at Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 9. It says, what then? Are we Jews any better off? Here, Paul is speaking as a Jewish believer, and he's saying, you know, that Gentiles and Jews, that Jews were given certain spiritual advantages, if you will, right? And that the Israel was the chosen nation, that they were the people who were given the Old Testament scriptures. Messiah had come through them. They were the people of God. But Paul's point here being, what? Look, Jew or Gentile, we're all in the same boat when it comes to righteousness or lack thereof before God. So he says, so what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Pretty stinging indictment, isn't it? And some of you might think, well, that's not true of me. That's not true of me. Well, you know what? Apart from Christ, from God's perspective, who's that true of? All of us. He goes on to say, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God, how? through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So what is Paul telling us here? He is saying that no one is righteous, no one seeks God or does good. Now, some of you might go, well, I don't know about that. We might say, well, I know, by God's standard, no one is righteous. Can we agree on that? But I don't know. I think people seek God. People do good. To which I would say, well, again, who are we going to compare our to? Do people do good relative to one another? Sure they do. Are you glad that people are not as bad as they could possibly be? Absolutely. And in relative terms, do people do good? They do. But again, what's the standard here? God's standard. By God's standard, does anyone do good? No. It says no one seeks God. I don't know. I think people are searching for God. Are they really? Well, I don't know. I was searching and I found God. Really? Did you find God or did God find you? Right? You see, apart from Christ, no one is righteous, no one seeks God, no one is good. But here's the even worse, that's bad news. You want to hear the worst news? All are accountable to God. God holds people accountable for what they do. And because God is a just God, He must judge. Now, the law cannot save. That is, what is the law? The law is God's commandments, God's righteous will. Is it the Ten Commandments? Sure, it's that. But it's more than that. And so, does anyone perfectly fulfill all of God's righteous law? No. So if you want to be, you want to know how to be saved? Well, perfectly obey all of the law of God. You have a sin nature that's already under condemnation. That's another problem. But let's just put that aside for a minute. And let's just say we're going to clean the slate right now. Okay, and so from now on until the rest of your life, be perfectly obedient to every law of God. On your mark, get set, go. Okay, who failed? All right. You see, the law, keeping the law, God's commandments, the law is good, but it can't save. In fact, what does it do? It simply shows us the truth about ourselves. It shows us that we are sinners, and the law can't save. In fact, what does it do? It condemns. It condemns us because it shows us the truth about ourselves. Again, why are so many people resisting this wonderful good news of life and blessing forever in Christ? Because you first have to deal with the bad news, which is like, you are not good. You are a sinner worthy of God's eternal judgment. People don't want to hear that, and so that's why they don't like the good news, right? the bad news. But you have to understand the bad news first. And the bad news is that all of us are under God's judgment, that there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. The law can't save us. In fact, it only shows us the truth about us, that we're sinners, and it condemns us. See, there's the bad news. But now, but God, Ephesians 2, but now, Romans 3, righteousness has been revealed in Christ. God's rightness is manifested or shown or demonstrated to us in Jesus Christ. For all have sinned. Some of us, we like to memorize Bible verses. How many of you know Romans 3:23? We got that? That's part right. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Well, all have sinned and fall short of God's standard of perfection. Not a single exception to that. So no one is righteous. All are accountable to God. The law can't save. But now, righteousness has been revealed. And those who believe then in Christ are justified or made right with God. To be justified is to be set right with God. It's forgiveness of sin. And it's actually, it even goes a little further. It's a declaration of God's own righteousness and holiness too in Christ. Not just forgiveness of sin, but righteousness and holiness that we can never do. So this justification, this being made right with God through Christ, it's a gift. It's a gift of God's grace that we could never earn. And we could never pay it back. Now, we can live worthy of that. We'll look at that in a little bit. But we can't pay it back, though. We can't earn it. We can't be worthy of it. See, Christ fully satisfied God's requirements. What does God require for persons to be in His presence forever and ever? Perfection, moral perfection. Who can do that? None of us. So He did for us what we couldn't do. Jesus is the morally perfect one. And somehow, in a way that I don't pretend to understand, I simply know what the Scripture declares, that it says, when I put my faith in Jesus, God unites me with Him and gives His righteousness and holiness to me as a gift. So God, or Christ, fully satisfies God's requirements. Christ demonstrates God's own righteousness. How can God forgive you and me and give us eternal life? Well, He can do it because it's by His grace. But He can forgive and give life because Christ met the demands of God's law and righteousness. How can that be given to me as a gift? I don't know, but the Bible says it. Right? Christ fully satisfies the requirements of God, of God's law. Christ demonstrates that God is right to do this. He's right to forgive because Jesus met those requirements. Jesus fully absorbed the punishment for our sin. Scripture says there is the propitiation. He's the satisfaction of sin. Of sin's cost. He absorbed the punishment for my sin and yours, for all who believe. Well, in light of all that then, therefore what? There's no place for human boasting. Because our justification, our being made right with God, it's by faith, not the works of the law. And even faith, believing even that, none of us would believe apart from God's grace. Wherever you are on the spectrum of all that about divine sovereignty and human responsibility and free will, you know, wherever you are, it's only by God's grace that anybody believes. So there's no place whatsoever for boasting. You can't boast in your good works because you don't have any and I don't have any. And you can't even boast in your faith. because even that's God's grace. So there's no place for human boasting. And being right is by faith. And so therefore, the law is irrelevant and doesn't matter. Hey, we've been saved by grace. It doesn't matter God's law anymore. That's all been covered in Christ. Well, we are called to obedience to the law, aren't we? But it's only through faith. The law, that faith doesn't remove the law, God's righteous requirements. Faith fulfills the law in us. And by faith, we're able then to walk in obedience to the law. Not perfectly in these bodies, right? But we're forgiven. And we have the hope, the promise, the sure certainty that God then is going to complete the redemption begun in us. And that we will stand before Him perfect in glorified resurrection bodies. That's the hope that we have in Christ. So I say, so what? Well, yeah, it's a pretty big so what there, isn't it? Just a reminder, salvation comes through God's grace alone. So I think the first so what I would say to you is, if you're out there and you're thinking, I know I'm not right with God. I know I've done wrong, and my conscience is convicting me here. You know what? Maybe the Spirit is working in your life and your heart right now. And I want you to know that there's eternal hope for you through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, you see, God requires perfection. And none of us can measure up to that. But Jesus did measure up to it. And His Word tells us when we put our trust or confidence in what Jesus did, God credits that or gives that to us. I don't understand it, but that's grace. So maybe the Spirit is prompting your heart or your mind or your will right now to believe. And if He is, respond to faith by saying, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe Jesus lived perfectly for me. I believe He died for me. I believe that I'm not righteous in myself, that I deserve Your judgment, but I believe Jesus absorbed it for me. And I ask, I put my faith, my trust, my confidence in Him. And I thank You then for forgiving my sin and giving me life in Jesus. And you can't boast, I can't boast, none of us can boast, you see, because the praise goes to God alone for our salvation. The praise goes to God alone for our salvation. So once we have been forgiven for sin, given the gift of righteousness, we can go out and live any old way we want because, hey, we're covered now, right? No. God calls us what then? To live in obedient gratitude to God. What should be the motivation, my motivation, your motivation for righteous living, holiness? Gratitude. Thankfulness to God. And you know, even righteous living, holy living, even that takes God's grace, doesn't it? It's grace alone. We're saved by grace alone, not by human effort, and there's no place for human boasting. It's God's grace alone that saves. Let's give thanks for that and pray, shall we? Lord, thank You for the grace that You have extended to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that He is our hope, that we have the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. And the gift, Lord, of pouring out kindness upon us forever and ever and ever in Your presence. All of this because of Your grace in Christ. To You alone, Lord Jesus, be the glory. God, I pray then if there is someone here, this may be on the margin here, that person would turn to You now in faith. Receive that gift. And teach that person now then, Lord, to walk with You in gratitude. And Lord, may we all then who have this hope live in obedient gratitude, seeking to obey your law by your strength and empowerment, to please you out of gratitude. Not because we can earn salvation or pay it back, we can't, but out of love and gratitude for what you've done for us. And joy, the joy of your law, the joy of knowing you, the joy of obedience. And we pray these things then in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.